Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anna Sale in for Brian Lehr. Oh, the New York City mayor's race. What is going on? Anthony Weiner is still in the race, but his campaign manager is not. His opponents are looking to take advantage of that opening. Speaker Christine Quinn got a plum booking on Meet the Press over the weekend. And Bill Thompson got headlines for talking about another national story, the George Zimmerman verdict, and made it a rallying cry for his campaign and for taking another look at Stop and Frisk. Joining me are Ruby Kramer from BuzzFeed and Ozzie Paber from Capital New York. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So, Ruby, Anthony Weiner lost his campaign manager over the weekend. What happens now? Does that matter? Was he any kind of mastermind for this campaign, or was it mostly run by Anthony Weiner?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not quite sure how involved Danny was, Danny Kenem was. But the thing about Anthony Weiner is he is the most micromanaging politician that there is right now. He even said in a recent interview with the Staten Island Advance that this whole scandal has given him a new level of independence. And it will essentially be able to, it'll enable him to run a better campaign. That's what makes sense to him.
We have actually a clip of that. Let's take a listen.
I'm going to be a successful mayor because of that. Because it's going to give me a level of independence. Look, people are saying to me, well, this guy's not endorsing you, that guy's not endorsing you, this person's saying a nasty thing about you, that person's saying a nasty thing about you. Well, I'm not constructing a campaign around the approval of my peers. I'm constructing a campaign around the aspirations of my neighbors.
So that, again, is Anthony Weiner talking to the Staten Island Advance in an exclusive interview on Friday that was posted on their website over the weekend. What do you think about the way he's using the word peers there versus neighbors? Aren't we voters his peers, Ozzy?
Well, it's always entertaining to hear somebody describe a campaign for public office as anything other than a popularity contest, right? Like, I don't want to win the popularity contest, and here's Weiner saying, you know, sort of using it. But what else is there left for him to say? What else is the only other argument that he has for running? Other than to say, I'm running to rehabilitate my image, I'm running to sort of put the scandal behind me. For him to sort of credibly go forward with a race and have anything other than the scandal be what he's asked about, he sort of has to make the argument that he's running. And the best spin you could put on this, and it's one that he had sort of before this latest revelation, which is that I'm different from everyone else, I'm independent. They're all tied down with special interest.
So people saying mean things about me is good for my campaign. It means I'm going to be a better mayor.
If you want to spin it that way and you try really hard, you can try to go with it.
Ozzy, I want to get your thoughts on how big a deal last week's revelations were. The New York Times Magazine piece over the weekend about the mayor's race ended with this interview with an unnamed campaign worker who said he or she is kept up at night with the big question of what is going to happen, because something always happens in New York City mayoral races. Is this a big event that's enough to sort of reshape the entire field?
Yes, and it already has. What we're seeing right now is what the mayor's race basically was before Anthony got in, right? It's Christine Quinn talking about women's issues and highlighting the fact that she's the only woman in the race. You have Bill Thompson talking about Trayvon Martin and Stop and Frisk, an issue that really galvanizes Black and Latino voters. And you have Bill de Blasio reminding everyone that he is as far to the left as you can get and probably even further to the left than that. And it's basically where everyone wanted to be before Weiner got in. Now, the reason why this is such a big scandal, it's not entirely because of the picture and what we're seeing or trying to unsee. And it's not exactly because of what this new woman is saying. It's because after Weiner had that tearful press conference in 2011, after he told People magazine, after he told the Sunday New York Times magazine that he's different, he's changed, he's moved on. In the clear light of day, when he had numerous opportunities to tell people what his story was, it wasn't the whole truth. That's the problem.
Ruby Kramer, people have also been talking a lot about Huma Abedin, who you followed for a piece that went up on Tuesday, the day of these revelations coming out. But you were with her, following her reporting through last weekend. I'm just curious, what, having spent time with her and seeing all of the ways that so all of us are projecting narratives on what she is going through, what are your thoughts about where she is right now?
Well, I don't want to speak for her where she is right now. I think there's too much of that going on already. But what struck me about seeing Huma on the campaign trail before this scandal broke on Tuesday was how very much involved she seemed to be in the campaign. Just the fact that she was out and about two Sundays in a row. First, she went with Wiener to a couple churches in Staten Island, then went around to a bunch of restaurants in Harlem with him. And then the next week, she was out at some jerk chicken festival in Queens. That for her alone is a big deal. Huma is known to be a very, very private person. She is the closest aide to Hillary Clinton, to former Secretary of State Clinton. And she is described in every article that's ever been written about her as very private. And she says that about herself, too. So for her to put herself out there in this way for her husband was a big deal. When the scandal broke, when we saw her on Tuesday out again by his side at this painful press conference at which she read out her own statement, that was an even bigger deal. She was putting herself out there in a wholly new way for her, and it reaffirmed everything that we had seen from her in the past, in the weeks leading up to that, which was that she's very much in this campaign. She appears to be standing by him. You know, whether or not we'll continue to see that, I'm not sure, because we're getting now pressure from a whole bunch of outside voices. You know, when Christine Quinn was on Meet the Press, David Axelrod, Obama's advisor, was on with her and said, you know, Huma's close friend and Anthony needs to drop out. He's a waste of space.
Right. And Ruby brings up a good point, which is that Tuesday was a turning point. Up until then, Huma Abedin had been the bystander. She had been the victim of all this. And now, by opening her mouth, by making a statement, and for the first time, reporters actually hearing her voice, and by giving an articulate argument as to why Wiener should continue with the race, she became an active agent in the campaign and therefore no longer immune to the criticisms of putting forward the Wiener candidacy. So Wiener gets criticized for going forward, knowing that he had done this thing and not really been honest about it. And now you saw a slew of articles saying, Huma, you too were part of that decision.
We've talked about this a lot. Let's shift to the other candidates in the mayoral field. You mentioned the Meet the Press interview that Christine Quinn had at Ruby over the weekend. Let's take a listen. She was asked repeatedly by David Gregory about whether Anthony Wiener was qualified, if he had disqualified himself as a candidate, and here's how she answered it.
You know, I don't think it's appropriate for opponents to say who should or shouldn't get in and out of races. That's for voters. But do I think he has the qualifications to be mayor of the city of New York? Has he disqualified himself? Yes, he's disqualified himself, but not just because of these scandals, though that certainly has. He didn't have the qualifications when he was in Congress. He was in Congress for 12 years. He passed one bill at the request of a campaign contributor, a tobacco magnate.
So it strikes me, it was thinking about how Anthony Weiner's opponents in the mayoral field are affected by this revelation. I mean, Christine Quinn gets to go on a national platform and make her case for why she's the better candidate than Anthony Wiener. Do you think she how does this affect her candidacy, Ruby Kramer, Christine Quinn's?
I think she actually, as Ozzie pointed out in his wonderful morning briefing this morning, Christine Quinn didn't really say anything different on Meet the Press, but she happens to now have a national platform because of what another candidate in the race has done. Whether and how she uses that, we'll see going forward. This was certainly the most outspoken we've seen her on Wiener now. But she didn't, I think viewers of that Meet the Press interview wouldn't come away thinking about Christine Quinn. They'd come away thinking about Anthony Wiener, which is a problem for her.
That's a good point. Ozzie, let's shift to Bill Thompson and what happened when he went to a Brooklyn church on Sunday morning and talked about stop and frisk. Let's go back a little bit because I think his history on stop and frisk has been pretty interesting. You brought us some tape back in March when John Liu and Bill Thompson had this very interesting exchange at a mayoral forum. Let's just take a listen to that.
People who support stop and frisk don't understand how humiliating it is. Bill, I have to say this. Every time you talk about your 15-year-old, I feel terrible. I feel terrible that he has to live in a city like this, and a young man like your son would have to go through the potential of being stop and frisk. Bill, I want you to join me, because I feel lonely. No, I'm the one who has to worry about my son being stop and frisk. I'm concerned about my son also being shot by somebody who's a member of a gang in the streets. And at the same point, I don't have to sacrifice his constitutional rights to make sure he is safe.
I don't have to sacrifice. I can have them both.
That is so interesting to me. There you have John Liu, a comptroller who is a candidate for mayor who wants to abolish stop and frisk, and then Bill Thompson, who has a much more sort of nuanced position about stop and frisk. But let's first listen to what he had to say on Sunday. This is talking about the George Zimmerman verdict at Abundant Life Church in Prospect Heights, and he compared it to stop and frisk. Take a listen.
Even if you accept that the system worked in the Florida trial, you must also recognize that the system failed. It failed, Trayvon. It failed, Trayvon. It failed, my son. It failed, America. How did the system fail? How did the system fail? Here in New York City, we have institutionalized Mr. Zimmerman's suspicion with a policy that all but requires our police officers to treat young black and Latino men with suspicion, to stop them and frisk them because of the color of their skin.
That is mayoral candidate Bill Thompson at a church in Brooklyn on Sunday. He says there, we have institutionalized Mr. Zimmerman's suspicion with stop and frisk in New York City. Ozzie, how does that fit with what he actually says he wants to do with stop and frisk in New York City?
That's a great question. And the whole debate about stop and frisk, the whole debate about stop and frisk is one of the more easily misunderstood debates that's happening in the mayor's race, even to the point where John Liu had to clarify to the Daily News editorial board in an interview with them what exactly he was talking about when they were talking about stop and frisk. It almost sounds like a Raymond Carver headline, what we talk about when we talk about stop and frisk. But what Thompson had said in the first clip, he was reacting spontaneously to an incredibly aggressive maneuver by John Liu, who his campaign is predicated on the idea of getting a large number of black and Latino votes. He's the first Asian American elected citywide. His campaign strategist, is one of the people who was a top aide to David Dinkins, the first black mayor. And he has this outreach to minority voters that's unique and rivals Bill Thompson. So in front of a black church, he sort of makes this comment that basically, I'm to the left of you on this issue. And Thompson responded very passionately as a father, as someone who has to deal with literally having a son in this city and not wanting to see him get injured. And it was a very emotional moment. And even hearing it just now, I sort of cringed at how much you heard him speak with emotion. What happened on Sunday was really interesting. It's been a couple of weeks since the George Zimmerman verdict. It's been just as long since President Obama spoke and said, that could have been me, which is an incredibly powerful statement for a president to make. And what we're hearing 2 weeks later from Bill Thompson is that I am now motivated to sort of speak on this issue. But politically, it fits into what the campaign had wanted to do, which is sort of remind people that he is the black candidate in the race. And by he has a nuanced position on this issue, and it's hard to galvanize support around nuance.
But to be clear, his position as far as the city council bills go, right, the inspector general bill and the racial profiling bill, Bill Thompson has opposed both of those and both of those approaches.
He's not in favor of the inspector general bill because he says, I want to be the one in charge. You don't need this. And he sort of had positioned himself as saying, I would want the inspector general, if there was one, to answer to the police commissioner, which the sponsor,
the chain of command argument.
Right, which the sponsors of the bill say is outrageous and that defeats the whole purpose of it. So, and he's been criticized by Al Sharpton on this issue. You know, Sharpton sort of signaling, hey, look, you need to come around to my position on this, and sort of saying, like, my endorsement isn't taken for granted. But Thompson has said several times that that it should be kept as a tool that's used appropriately. Now, that's the whole debate. How do you use this thing appropriately?
And he doesn't seem to be saying that at that church yesterday. To talk about institutionalizing the suspicion against George Zimmerman is not making it sound like it's a tool that can be adjusted.
He seemed to be speaking on a macro level, that there was training, that there was a psychology and a worldview that needs to change. Well, I don't think I'm overstating it, that when a police officer is on the street, they're not exactly thinking in these macro terms. They're literally thinking about the person in front of them and all the worst case scenarios that might happen and how do you protect yourself. When you get into a policy debate on a campaign trail about these larger macro worldview issues, you have to wonder, how does that translate right down to the street where the rubber meets the road?
And that's what I think your comparison between what Bill Thompson was saying and how President Obama framed his response to the George Zimmerman verdict is so interesting, because they're very similar. They're reminding people that they have had this experience.
Right. There's a very passionate way that some people in public service speak about these issues that are very moving. But every now and then we get a reminder from some very good reporters that there are very specific questions that have to get answered and understood, and that, you know, flowery rhetoric, as moving as it may be, doesn't address the issues that are at hand that voters have to decide when they go into the voting booth.
All right. Ruby Kramer, what about Bill de Blasio? I mean, he was very quickly to come out and say Anthony Weiner should get out of the race. He could very well benefit from Anthony Weiner supporters looking for another candidate. And then this poll that came out last week, the mayor's poll, it had a margin of error that was over 5 points when it talked about likely primary voters, but it had him in second place, which is very different than what the media narrative about his campaign had been prior to Anthony Weiner's revelations. What do you see Bill de Blasio doing right now?
Well, I think he's definitely in the game and a big player in it. But I think the problem with Bill de Blasio is a lot of the questions about him begin, well, what about Bill de Blasio, like you just said? Mark Jacobson wrote in New York Magazine that the problem with him is that you forget what he said 5 minutes after he said it, which I thought was funny but also true, somewhat. Bill de Blasio, I mean, he was very quick, like you said, to come out and say Weiner should withdraw. He still got to stake his campaign on something. Right now, he's making a really big kind of campaign move on protesting the closure of the Long Island College Hospital, and that's what he's speaking out most often on. I don't know if that'll galvanize voters in the same way something like Bill Thompson's speech on stop and frisk and race would. So I think he still has yet to kind of find his movement, his path forward. I mean, he certainly has framed himself as the most progressive candidate in the race, which will do something.
So we've talked a lot about the shakeups in the Democratic primary field for mayor. There's plenty of other races, the Republican primary, the comptroller case, their comptroller election on the Democratic side. Ruby, you were all over that story when Elliot Spitzer got into the race. We haven't heard much about that campaign in the last couple of days.
I wonder what happened.
Elliot Spitzer and Scott Stringer are now just fighting it out. I think there was a lot of surprise when he jumped into the race. That news came out on a late Sunday night, and he had to file his petition signatures to get on the ballot by Thursday, so it was kind of this week-long scramble, very intense, and now that's kind of settled, and he has his petitions, and he's on the air already, and Scott Stringer is plugging away every day. The race has kind of leveled out a little bit, and it's funny how Anthony Weiner's recent news was able to completely eclipse what we thought was the big shakeup of the New York City electoral field this year.
And I think that there wasn't a lot of conversation about, what was pretty interesting last week was Mayor Bloomberg talking about the way Elliot Spitzer talked about Wall Street Aussie. What did you make of that?
Oh, well, Elliot Spitzer released, I think it was his third ad, where it showed empty streets, empty Wall Streets. And he's like, oh, they heard he's running again. And that's exactly the image that his critics have always said about him, is that you scare business, you drive them away. And Michael Bloomberg, if there's any way to categorize him, he's pro-business. And he picked up on that and he said that's not what you need in a city comptroller. And the problem for Scott Stringer isn't that it's not that he doesn't have a great argument against Elliot Spitzer. There's plenty of them to make. And it's not that he doesn't have supporters. It's that he doesn't have the attention. Elliot Spitzer was supposed to bring in a massive amount of attention into the race where somebody like Stringer can make these arguments. And now that Anthony Weiner is back in the news for all these other reasons, attention is being driven away. So now you have Scott Stringer, who dropped out of the mayor's race for lack of public awareness about his candidacy, running against a guy with almost 100% name recognition, minus the kind of attention that you would think would surround that race.
And they are running completely different races, too.
Completely.
I mean, Scott Stringer is on the ground running, doing small meet and greets with voters. Elliot Spitzer has come out, what, maybe three or four times?
Handful of times with very brief head time for or lead time for reporters. And just late on Friday, I had heard that and reported out that Stringer is not going to go on television with his ads until late August. So there's going to be a lot of time for Elliot Spitzer to sort of dump his money into television ads and have people remember him for the way he wants. And Stringer is going to be waiting a little bit longer to do that.
All right. Many things to watch this week. One of them, what happens with Anthony Weiner's candidacy. For his part, he told the Staten Island Advance on Friday, "You're stuck with me." So we'll see if that holds up through the week. Ruby Kramer from BuzzFeed and Ozzie Paber of Capital New York, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks.
Coming up, we're going to look at the aging population of immigrants in New York City and whether we have the services that they need. I'm Anna Sale in for Brian Lehrer.